We only get
survival of the fittest.
Oh, here it comes.
And besides, it's fun.
Outdoors with John is on the air. This is the Hunting, Camping, and Fishing Show, presented by Northwest Iowa Outdoors, the region's number one outdoor entertainment multimedia outlet. Live from the KSCJ studios in Sioux City, the phone lines are wide open. Call 239-2101 right now with your questions or comments.
Well, a little bit of jet lag there. But anyway, we got it. Hey, we are actually looking for an ad salesman, and, you know, we pay a pretty aggressive commission. It's just a straight commission. So, you know, if you pick up like three or four clients, you'd make enough dough to be able to buy yourself a new shotgun every year. And if you want, we would even pay you in store credit at a sporting goods store of your choice. That way you're not tempted to take the cash and waste it on something foolish like, you know, food and shelter for your family, you know, things like that. And then that way it's like, hey, I have to use that money for sporting goods stuff. Anyway, hey, the show is brought to us by the City of Kingsley, Small Town Sportsman in Kingsley, Dirt Road Design and Screen Printing in Kingsley, The Shooting Shop in Anthon, Iowa, the Plymouth County Conservation Board, Skyline Lodge in Parole Falls, Ontario, Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors in Milford, Iowa, Stan's Bait Shop in Milford, and Midwestern Land and Auction in Mapleton, Iowa. Well, there's seven shows left before we're going to give away the Heritage Rough Rider Revolver, the Brick of 22 Long Rifle Ammo, and the Custom Duck Call. All you have to do is call 239-2101, take part in the show, or you can send an email to, is that KSCJ at weekends, Scott?
KSCJweekends at gmail.com.
All right. Just send that here during the show, and we'll read it off and, you know, get you entered in that. Let's see. Oh, yeah. I know a while back, I think last month, Steve had called in and was telling us a story about a couple moose on the golf course, and we got cut off just before we found, just as the second moose was coming out onto the golf course on him, so we didn't get to hear the rest of that story. And then also, Steve, call in and give Scott your information, because we forgot to get your last name and phone number and stuff like that to get you entered into the drawing for the revolver. Oh, a few things going on. Let's see. Friday, November 8th, they're going to have the first stocking of trout at Bacon Creek here in Sioux City. They usually put about 1,500 trout in there. Today, from noon to 1 p.m., they're going to be stocking the trout in Scharnberg Pond, which is just west of Spencer. You know, walleye fishing at Blackhawk Lake has been fair. The channel catfish has slowed down quite a bit. They're catching a lot of good perch on Blackhawk right now. They're fishing the east end of the lake near the outlet, Ice House Point, and the inlet bridge. And they're mostly using night crawlers or a small minnow on a tiny jig. Storm Lake walleye fishing has been fair. I mean, they've been picking up a few, but not great numbers of them. But the guys that are having success are using crankbaits, live baits, and twisters near the shore over mostly on the east shores, where the walleye seem to be concentrated there on Storm Lake. The catfishing there has slowed down a bit, but they're still picking up a few, and they're catching most of them on night crawlers fished on the bottom. The crappie fishing on Storm Lake has been pretty good near the shore, along the docks, and in the marina. They're using a small jig tipped with a piece of crawler or a power bait fished under a bobber. And I think they're dropping down about 3 feet below the bobber. There is where they're picking up the crappies. East Okoboji, the bluegills are biting along the weed line around the remaining docks on the lake. The yellow bass size has been real good on East Okoboji. And most of those fish are being caught in 9 to 10 feet of water. And they're fishing from docks in the evening. And they're using small jigs or small crankbaits to pick up the yellow bass there on East Okoboji. West Okoboji, the walleye fishing has been pretty good. They're pulling plugs during the evening and after dark. And they're catching some really nice-sized bluegills on West Okoboji on the weed line and in the deeper rock areas. Spirit Lake, the walleye fishing reports are sporadic. With the poor weather last week, not a lot of people made it out on the Spirit Lake. But the ones that are catching the walleyes are there again. They're catching them in the evening and the early mornings, and it's near shore. and the wader fishing has been pretty productive for people on Spirit Lake. Smallmouth bass fishing has been pretty sporadic on Spirit Lake also. Trumbull Lake in Clay County has some reports of a lot of 13-inch perch being caught. And Virgin Lake in Palo Alto has also been really good for perch, and they're using minnows on a jig and a slip bobber, and they're also picking up quite a few walleyes on Virgin Lake in Palo Alto County. Well, I don't know, a couple episodes ago, Don called in and wanted to know about the white bass run on the Maquoketa River. Well, I didn't find any information about the white bass other than, yeah, there's white bass there, which we kind of already knew that. But I did find something interesting, and maybe this has something to do with why the white bass would kind of disappear, because Don would, they said they'd catch them and then just for a few days and then they'd be gone. But there was a father and a son had a Sasquatch sighting on the Maquoketa River. So in their report that they provided to this, I can't remember the exact name of the website, but it was a Sasquatch watching type one. So I know it's true because I saw it on the internet. But anyway, their quote was, I took my son Miles fishing behind Sundown Mountain Ski Resort. We turned west off Ashbury Road onto Twin Springs Drive, where there is an access to the stream. I had been promising my son some night fishing. We set up a couple of buckets facing south to the rock outcroppings and wooded area across the creek. We were fishing in the deeper water across the creek near the rocks. We heard sticks breaking and rustling, which I assumed were coons, meaning raccoons, as this is a good coon area. Then we noticed something larger coming toward the other side of the creek from a distance. Thinking it was one of the many deer that we often see, thought nothing of it until we caught a sight of it in the black backlight of the city or the moon from the other side of the hill we were facing. This was a large bipedal animal, very unlikely to be a person this time of night without a light, although we were fishing without a light source also. It came up to the top of the rock outcropping directly across from us and stood between two trees. Then it then squatted down and just sat there watching us. My son was scared. I was intrigued. Within 10 minutes, another came to join the first to his right and stayed just across a ravine. No more than 6 minutes later, another came from the south just to the left of the one squatting across from us. As this one got close, it let out a piercing shriek. Nothing like the calls that are heard on the TV shows. This was high-pitched and frightening. The other two took notice and began to move towards the shrieking squatch. At this point, we had enough and grabbed our fishing gear and ran back to the truck. And he also gives a GPS location right where he saw the Sasquatch. And, yeah, so there you have it. Maybe the Sasquatches would get in there along that river and it'd scare away them white bass so Don couldn't catch them. So anyway, for our trivia this week, and we're going to have the highly coveted Second Amendment copper coin, and also we're going to grab something out of Scott's prepper cupboard over there. It'll be a type of spam or an MRE. It's just kind of random what's going to get pulled out of his prepper closet. But what we're looking for is Sasquatch sightings and track findings started being documented more or less from the early 1960s onward. Since that time, roughly how many credible documentations have there been? Either 1,500, 2,500, or 3,500. We're looking how many credible documentations of Sasquatch sightings have there been since the early 1960s. 1,500, 2,500, or 3,500. And the number there is 239-2101. And Don's on the line. Good morning, Don.
Hey, John. I just listened to your story about my stripers. And you mentioned the Sasquatch deal?
Yeah.
Years and years ago when I was a kid, I remember my dad went squirrel hunting over by the fish hatchery, which is kind of adjacent to the river there. There was some timber there that was pretty good squirrel. I wasn't with him, but he took our dog. And when he got home, he told something. He said, I was walking the railroad tracks back to the road, and we had a dog who was feisty as hell. But anyway, Dad said he saw something out of the corner of his eye and he was yelling for the dog. And he said, I can't explain what it was, but it was huge. And the dog ran with his tail between his legs all the way to the road.
And where was this at?
It would be just about a mile north of the fish hatchery.
Yeah, in that same area.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of blew my mind that, because I remembered that.
Yeah, this sighting that I was quoting off this website was in September of 2012.
Wow, yeah, that's great. Yeah, the fish hatchery is about, 8-10 miles east of Manchester. No,
right.
Not that far, about 5 miles. It's right on the Makokola, kind of.
Yeah, that's evidently.
So, yeah, it made me think of that, so that's interesting.
A good place to catch white bass on occasion and see a Sasquatch on occasion.
Yeah, only at lilac time in the spring. That is so strange.
Yeah. And it's also a good place to catch some trout.
Yeah. And they do stock there, but it's also that stream has natural trout in it, too, and they're so much better eating than the stocked.
Yeah, and all the guys, when they stock them around here, like they're going to do, it's coming up here in Bacon Creek. The people will go catch those, and I guess they don't really compare to the wild ones like you say.
Oh,
but
yeah.
They're still good eating.
We used to go up northern Wisconsin, and fish some natural trout lakes. And John, when you put those in a fry pan and fry them, the meat was actually pink and no fishy taste at all.
Yeah. I must have been cooking them wrong, because I've tried eating them in the past, and I'm not a huge fan of them. Those are salmon either. They're just kind of oily to me.
Yeah.
But they're definitely a lot different type of a fish than like a walleye or a perch or something like that,
exactly.
For sure.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
But yeah, I think if that's the trick to anything. I mean, if you know how to prepare it correctly, it's going to give you the best results.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Don.
Keep up the good work.
Well, we'll try to.
All right.
Okay. So anyway, that was kind of interesting. I think maybe not. The up at the Hillview Recreation Area, they've got a Dutch Ovens and Winter Decor event coming up, and it's Tuesday, November 26th, and it's going to be in the evening from 6 to 9 p.m., and it will be there at the Hillview Recreation Area just west of Hinton, Iowa. And what they're going to do is they're going to create and decorate one-of-a-kind wreath and learn how to cook a meal in a Dutch oven. This activity is for all ages 16 and older, and ages 10 to 15 with an adult present. And if you've got a couple kids under that 16, yeah, you just one adult for those kids you're watching, you'd probably be okay with them there. The cost is $40. That's for the project, and that includes the dinner for one. So they're going to provide everything you need to make the wreath and also everything you're going to need to make the dinner, and they'll also provide the Dutch ovens. Each additional person in your group will be $5, and the space is limited to 20, so you need to call 712-947-4270 and pre-register, or you can go to the Hillview Recreation Area on Facebook, and you'll be able to see all the details there. Or you go to mycountyparks.com and pull down the Plymouth County tab, and there you have it. And we still don't have a correct winner for our trivia, do we, Scott?
We do not. Question was, Sasquatch sightings and track finds started being documented more or less from the early 60s onward. Since that time, roughly how many credible documentations have there been? Now, your choices are A, 1,500, B, 2,500, or C, 3,500. And incentive to call, you will win an MRE chili and macaroni reduced sodium.
Ooh, those are
yummy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know what? If nobody calls in and gets this week, we're eating that crap.
Yeah, 239-2101.
Well, we should probably take our break, right, Scott?
Yeah, we'll be right back. 1360-949 KSCJ.
My name is Gary. I'm an Iowan, a farmer, and I'm supporting Michael Bennett for president. I became a farmer to help people. I wish more leaders in Washington felt that way too. As soon as I met Michael, I knew he was different. He's honest, a straight talker. Like with healthcare, Michael knows our system isn't working. Not when we have to drive hours just to see a doctor. He's got a plan to improve our rural hospitals and expand access to affordable, quality care with a public option. He's one of the few in Washington to have passed not one, but put two farm bills on the Senate Ag Committee. Michael knows where we are coming from, and he'd be the kind of president we can trust to do the right thing. I hope you will join me in supporting Michael Bennett for president.
I'm Michael Bennett, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Bennett for America.
Hear that? That's the sound of thousands of wishes coming true every day at Give Kids the World Village. Here at this magical place, kids with life-threatening illnesses come from all over the world to fulfill one big wish: to visit Central Florida's most awesome attractions. For 1 week, kids, along with their moms, dads, brothers, and sisters, get to stay in our amazing 70-acre resort in Central Florida. They get tickets to the area's coolest attractions, and believe me, there are tons of those. They get to eat yummy meals every day, including ice cream for breakfast. It's an awesome place that gives these special kids what they need more than anything: a chance to feel normal and have fun. And here's the best part. This fancy vacation doesn't cost kids or their families a thing. We count on the support of caring people and companies to keep the magic alive. And the kids laughing. To learn how you can help, visit givekidstheworld.org. Give Kids the World. It's where happiness inspires hope.
You know, you all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to the MyPillow.com site right now and click on the new radio listener special. I use MyPillow, and I am sleeping so much better, you can too. Get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, they're bringing back the BOGO offer for the MyPillows. That's right, buy one pillow and get the other one absolutely free. And remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. So come on, go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter my code KSCJ or call 800-607-2091, 800-607-2091, 800-607-2091 for these great radio specials.
Big John, Big John. Well, that round of calls had to get a winner for the trivia, didn't it, Scott?
Yes, we did. Andrew Olson of Hinton correctly guessed 3,500.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, and the number's true. I saw it. Actually, I've seen that number anywhere from 3,500. I'd seen some estimate maybe 6,000. Nobody really knows for sure because there's not one entity that you know, covers all that. I mean, this one, this number's, I think I pulled it off, it was like the National Sasquatch Association or something. But it was a similar number on all the other websites you went to. So, yeah, that's a lot. Next Saturday is National Bison Day. You know, that's actually kind of interesting. I'm kind of at a loss. How does one decorate for National Bison Day?
Wear horns?
You could do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you could get those novelty Viking helmets because those look kind of like bison horns. But I don't know. How else do you decorate for it? But anyway, it's National Bison Day next Saturday. So we're gonna have a whole bunch of cool stuff on bison next week. You know, it's like, yeah, you won't want to miss it. It's going to be intriguing, highly entertaining, and informational.
We'll have to see if they make bison spam.
I haven't seen that. I don't know. I wonder if maybe somebody knows if the locker in Jefferson still sells fresh bison meat.
Yeah, I've seen it other places. I can't recall. There's a place down on 4th Street here in town that used to sell it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with that one. I mean, I used to, it's been a few years now, but I used to go up to the locker in Jefferson and get bison roasts and steaks and stuff like that. It was all pretty good stuff. Anyway, I think, you know, this current political environment is kind of weird because, you know, you never believe the polls about, you know, Trump and how he's polling and that. But this one makes me think that maybe Donald Trump is actually gaining favor in California, a state where nobody figures Trump would ever have a chance, or any Republican, as far as that goes.
Oh, is that the thing where you can now eat roadkill?
No, you could do that here, too.
Oh.
You know, no, that's, yeah. That's nothing, you know. They're behind the times on that.
Oh yeah, but I think that just passed in the last week or so, where it's legal to harvest roadkill out there now.
Yeah. You can do it in Iowa, you know, in Nebraska and South Dakota. You're supposed to call the game warden or the sheriffs, and they'll give you a green tag or a salvage tag that you put on the, like, for deer before you haul them and move them. But the city of Oklahoma or the city of Oakland, California. City Council voted unanimously to decriminalize the use and possession of magic mushrooms and other psychoactive plants and fungi. If they don't have enough problems there, I suppose let them all get high on shrooms too. But anyway, the vote makes the investigation and arrest of adults who grow, possess, and use the substances as one of the lowest priorities for police. The campaign was spearheaded and organized by the organization Decriminalize Nature Oakland. A string of people testified how the psychedelics helped them overcome depression, PTSD, and even drug addiction. You use a poisonous mushroom, and that's what these are. I mean, it's you're eating these plants that are poisonous, and it's the poison that, you know, makes your mind freak out. But you're taking a drug to get over a drug addiction? I don't know. Is that normal practice?
Yeah. Don't you just get addicted to the shrooms?
Yeah, but that's okay now because they're natural.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. You'll go to the shroom store and then they'll have like two different types of shrooms. They'll have the organic shrooms, which will be three times as expensive as the other mushrooms, you know, that are, you know, might have, you know, herbicide or pesticides on them or something. But I would think, now, like, when you're going to do these mushrooms to get high, you know, obviously it's the poison that alters your mind. Wouldn't you want a mushroom that had more poison? So it's like, hey, spray that bugger with Roundup before I, you know, put her down.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Anyway,
yeah.
Well, we're going to have some more research.
Oh, sure.
Maybe somebody in Oakland who is listening, and if they're done pooing in the street, they could give us a call.
Or we'll get Michelle to try the shrooms.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that'll happen. But anyway, some speakers said substances like, oh, geez, I can't even pronounce that. But whatever, the traditional plant-based medicine, it's, I can't pronounce them words. Hell, I can't even try. But anyways, that traditional plant-based medicines, and argued that hallucinogens can provide spiritual healing. You know, and the Native Americans for years do that. They'd make their sweat lodge, and they'd crawl in there and, you know, smoke dope and sit in their sauna and have, like, spiritual, I don't know, hallucinations or whatever. And they put a lot of stock in that, the visions that they'd have while they're close to passing out from narcotics and heat exhaustion had some relevance in their life. Anyway, lawmakers added the substances are not for everyone. They recommended that people with PTSD or major depression should seek professional help before using them. They also advise people to use them with a friend present. So, awesome.
Yeah, I just screwed that up. Anyway, we're out of time.
We're out of time anyway?
Yep.
Well, there we go.
All right. 1360 94.9 KSCJ.
CBS News Update. The battle continues in Northern and Southern California against raging wildfires. CBS's Janet Shamlian is in Santa Clarita, just north of Los Angeles.
Thousands of people remain evacuated from their homes this morning, including in this neighborhood, where embers from a small brush fire in the hills nearby were carried here yesterday by those gusting winds and torches.